Get real.
Get real.
Okay, welcome to the first video episode of Get Real with Jesse Steele. This is what I look like. I'm sorry. So it's been 20 years since you guys have seen me on Get Real with Jesse Steele, but we've been doing a few of these now. This is the fourth episode, I believe, and it's going to be a great one and something you should know. We are here today to get real with Robbie Harden of Shorty's Speed Shop. He's been a loyal advertiser of ours since we started 2 years ago. Thank you for that.
Absolutely.
And anyway, we want to get to talking about some car stuff, plus some really interesting information that you're going to want to know. So stick around, because there's something really cool at the end of this episode you're going to want to see. Or it might be in the middle. Don't just skip to the end and look for, you know, I've done that with books, especially like Choose Your Own Adventure books. You remember those? Oh, yeah. I used to go to the end and see the one I wanted, and then I'd go backwards to the levels. It's like, that's cheating. Cheater. So some point we're going to talk about something really cool. So pay attention to the whole episode. So without further ado, let's talk to Robbie Harden. Robbie, how's it going, bro?
I'm great. How are you, Jesse?
Oh, great. Thanks for being on the show.
Everyone. Thanks for having me. Awesome. I really appreciate this.
Let's just get right into it, man. So Shorty's Speed Shop. It's kind of an interesting name. I've always thought about that, because most people say things like, you know, Jesse's Automotive or whatever. So Speed Shop, are you trying to sell me racing parts? Are you trying to sell me drugs? Are you, you know, what exactly is going on here?
Yeah, so very good question. I get this actually quite often. I came up with the name a long time ago, back in high school, back in 2000 to 2002 in the Bishop High School Automotive course with Greg Newcomb. My ambition going through his course and early on in my career and my life was to start an automotive racing shop, a speed shop, as it's known. Clearly, that's not what we do here. We specialize more in maintenance and repairs and diagnostics than actual high performance type stuff. But I do have a history in high performance. We do some of that. It's just not a big enough market to really have that here in Bishop.
I do offer. Every one of us thinks we're a NASCAR driver. So you're just feeding into our fantasies, what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Hang out on 395 long enough and you'll see everybody is a Richard Petty suddenly.
Plenty of speeding.
Right? But yeah, it started back then. My heart has been in automotive performance. I've really been into drag racing and autocross type stuff. Absolutely love the performance side of the automotive industry. But turning wrenches and fixing cars for people, helping them out with their maintenance, that's where the money is. That's where the business is. That's where the service is. So I kept the name. And my silly answer to all of this is that your Subaru is faster than your Mitsubishis or your Subarus or your Chevrolets, you know, so your car is always faster. So your car is faster than your feet. So we keep you going fast.
Keep you speeding. I like it. Yeah, that's good. Let's just talk about you for just a little bit. So you mentioned Bishop. So you went to Bishop School. You grew up here, right?
Absolutely.
You know, your dad was a teacher here. Everybody knows Mr. Harden. You know, one of my favorite people. So it is what it is. So just give us the little rundown, 5-minute rundown. Who's Robbie? And how did you get to this point?
Yeah. So I grew up here in Bishop. As you mentioned, my dad was Dave Harden, teacher here at the elementary school for 33 years. So deeply entrenched in the community for majority of my life. My entire family has been. And I decided we finally got the opportunity to come back to Bishop after all of my schooling. I went to Universal Tech out in Phoenix, Arizona, took the whole automotive diesel industrial course and specialized in Ford. I worked for Infiniti, I worked for Nissan, I worked for Ford, and then in 2008, the economy crashed, and I was sitting on my toolbox doing a whole lot of nothing, making no money at all, because we're flat rate, we get paid per job, so I was literally starving. I got an offer to start working on buses, school buses, I'm like, okay, and they offer me a good hourly guaranteed rate, and I'm like, yeah, sign me up.
And so, that was Oregon?
No, that was out in Phoenix.
Okay.
I left Bishop to go to Phoenix after graduating from Bishop High. Went to Phoenix, Arizona for school. Stayed out there for many years. Worked for several shops, the dealers, independent shops. And then finally got, when the economy crashed, got the good opportunity to go over to diesel, which floated me for several years while the economy was sort of in the hole. And nobody had money to fix their cars. Trucks and buses were still running. And then I ended up coming back to Bishop for a little bit, worked for Mammoth Mountain on their bus fleet for a little bit, and then ended up in Portland, Oregon for a while, for the same company, school bus company that I worked for in Phoenix. Worked there for a couple years, and then ended up transitioning, got the job of a lifetime basically with Daimler Trucks of North America in their research and development fleet.
Oh, cool.
They don't like to call it that, but I call it that. That's what it is, and that's what people understand. It's research and development fleet. Helping the engineers redesign and improve semi-trucks. Got to work on electric trucks, got to work on hybrid trucks. Basically got a box full of parts and put it together at the end. My jaw hit the floor when I first walked into the shop. I'm like, what did I get myself into? This is crazy. This is a bunch of parts, and that's a half-finished truck in that bay, and that's a fully finished truck. I can see the transition here, and that's cool. A lot.
My dad's always, because he was a long-haul trucker his whole life, and he always told me that anything that we get in our cars that is some kind of, ooh, we have heated seats, ooh, we have all the just fancy things, started with trucks, probably 10 years prior to that. Is that true?
Yes and no. To a certain extent, yeah, trucks sort of drive a certain aspect, certain technologies, but for the most part, it's actually sort of reversed. Trucks are about 10 years behind cars. They're just now getting like adaptive cruise control, where you lock into the vehicle in front of you, and your car changes speeds and adapts to the car in front of you, and you don't have to touch your cruise control. You come up to your car's radar sees it.
I love that, by the way.
Exactly. That's been in cars a lot longer. They're just now getting it. When I was up in Portland a few years ago,
so then they're putting it in
they were just getting that into trucks. So yes and no, there's some technology that trucks that, drive.
Robbie's calling you a liar. I'm going to get the boxing gloves next time he's over.
He's not a total liar. Come on now. Just partial truth.
Exaggerator.
Yeah. So yeah, it goes back and forth. Automotive dictates a lot, but trucks also dictate a lot. So.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. So, and then when you were in Portland, you met your better half.
Yep. Nicole. Right?
Nicole.
Yep.
And so she's from up north.
Yep. Yeah. She's actually from Tootle, Washington.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Up by right by Mount St. Helens.
Cool. And so you and Nicole started Shorty Speed Shop, and that's your partners in that, and she runs the shop, and you are the inside. You run that. You know what I mean?
We go back and forth, but she's mainly the front office, and I'm the back half.
You're the grease monkey.
Yep, I do some of the computer work, not a whole lot. She's really the forefront of that, and I'm more in the back. She definitely helps out in the shop more than most anybody would ever expect.
Oh, for sure, I've seen it. That's true.
With the oil changes and inspections. And she has a background
in graphic design and photography and stuff? Was that her? Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Cool.
And same with you. I mean, you're a photographer for years. People are going to know your
stuff. That's actually one of the main things that brought us together was our photography.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So.
Cool. Okay. So I know you guys are doing photography just a little bit as a hobby and stuff. Are you ever going to get back into doing that more often, or is it just time dictating? You're busy.
It's just sort of time dictating. Yeah. That's still on the back burner. It's still there. It's a hobby of ours. But right now the automotive business is where we have to stay focused for the time being. So hopefully we can get back into photos. I'd love to.
Yeah.
But right now we're focused on the
bills
cars.
Is bills.
Bills is bills.
True.
I cannot turn wrenches forever. That's for sure.
True.
So I will be going back to hopefully photos at some point.
Right. Excellent. Okay, cool. Interesting stuff. Let's break for a commercial really fast before we get into the meat and potatoes here.
Got to make some money.
Yeah, exactly. We got to make some money. So let's check out some of our advertisers.
Good.
Okay. Thank you for that. Definitely check out our advertisers. There's no better way to support us than by supporting our wonderful advertiser. And we have the best advertiser, Shorty Speed Shop, being one of them. So definitely go check that out and help us. Another way that you can help us, if like, let's say you don't have a business and you can't advertise yourself, you can if you want to, but you know, kind of weird. But the easiest way to do it is go to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/Eastern Sierra Now. There you can do different packages, $5, $10, $5 million, whatever you want to put towards local news, local entertainment, and what you see is the value in what you're getting in this. It's basically like putting the quarter in the newspaper machine. Well, that's kind of what I'm saying here. It helps us keep going. It helps get more reporters, helps get more video editors, helps make more podcasts. Because now the Eastern Sierra Now is doing a podcast network. You know, we've got a lot of this. We've got a mini podcast coming up shortly. We've got a law enforcement podcast coming up. That's going to be great. We've got Butthurt Owens Valley just shot their first podcast, and we'll be shooting their second one tomorrow. And that's definitely going to be a fan favorite. We get with Jesse Steele. There might be some other podcasts happening, but I'll get into that in a minute. First, I would like to get back with Robbie Harden here talking about Shorty's Speed Shop. So I got a couple of questions here I'm interested in that are just basic, like, what do I need to know about my car? How do I, you know, I should know this if I own a car, you know, questions like that. And so that's what I thought. And now's our chance to ask Roberto here about that. So let's start with number one. What are some essential maintenance tasks every car owner should regularly perform to keep their vehicle running smoothly?
Really good question. I'm sure most of your viewers and listeners know this part. Most people, if you've been around a car, you've done some stuff to it. You've looked underneath the hood at least once. I mean, there's always the people out there that have never looked underneath the hood of the car, never thought about a car other than an A to B type thing. But a lot of people have checked, like, your air filter, for one, is a really good thing that anybody can do. It rarely needs tools. At most, you need a Phillips screwdriver or maybe a small socket. Some of them are bolted down in. Most of them are just clips. All you have to know is where it's at. You can pop those clips out, take a look at it. If it's dirty, put a new one in. Super simple. Super easy, super affordable. You could do it yourself. A lot of people do it.
And is that going to help, like, gas mileage and stuff? I mean, absolutely. Clearly it helps it breathe. So that's the point, right?
It all, your engine is an air pump, and it all starts with the air filter.
Okay.
That's where the whole beginning of the magic starts, is air coming into the engine. You need nice, clean air.
Yeah.
And the filter, when it gets clogged, starts clogging up that airflow.
Makes sense.
You start having issues. Air filter, obviously, is an easy one. Check your oil, folks. Another really easy one. No tools required except for a rag.
Yeah.
Get yourself a rag. Find that yellow little loop underneath the engine bay for the dipstick. Pull it out. You've got normally a hash-marked area on the dipstick at the very tip, at the very end, or two dots, and the oil needs to be in between those.
Okay.
The difference in between those two dots is exactly one quart. Or the hash marked area. If you're at the bottom of that, you can dump in a whole quart in. Exactly. Okay. I have yet to meet a car that that's not true with.
Okay.
So it even helps you measure out exactly how much oil to put in.
Perfect.
You know exactly how low you are.
Right.
So super simple. Cool. Checking your tire pressure as well is another thing that anybody pretty much can do. I don't necessarily trust the gas station air pumps, but it's at least something, you know, knowing how to put air into your tire. If you got a flat or it's,
well, just get yourself one of those and keep it in your glove box so you can check it.
You can get one at most any of the automotive stores. We don't have a Walmart here, but you can order one online through Amazon or Walmart, any of those large corporations. They all have them. They're not expensive. I would spend more than the cheapest on a air pressure gauge, but absolutely.
What is... I know everything's different, but what would I aim for on my car? Like, okay, I want it to be above 30, or is it preference? You know what I mean? What?
You can have a preference on tire pressure for sure. Some people have preferences. There's different reasons for running multiple different pressures. And we can get into that,
for instance.
Exactly. Yeah. A lot of guys who go off-road for a wheel, they will actually lower their tire pressure so that they have a smoother ride and a little bit better traction in certain scenarios. Sometimes it can be detrimental, but that's for another podcast.
Okay.
Another time, another conversation. Best thing that you can do as far as your tires are concerned is check that pressure, go off of the door.
Okay.
So the two things you want to look at is on your door jamb, when you open up your door, there's a sticker there. It will tell you your tire pressure.
Oh, okay.
That is set from the manufacturer. That is set from the manufacturer for the weight of your vehicle. Tires will dictate that a little bit. Check your tires, make sure you're not overinflating for the tire.
Okay.
Normally that's not the case. The only reason I'm literally saying this now is that I just had one the other day. Max tire pressure on the door was 35. The tire also said 35. So I didn't go off of the door. I set it a little bit lower. I set it at like 30, 32 PSI. So that
at the max, you don't want it at the max all
the time.
You
don't want to go over the max of the tire.
Yeah,
so set it to the door as long as it's not higher than the max pressure on the tire itself.
Cool. That's easy. And it's just written right there on the tire. So,
Yeah. Check the tire, check the door and go off of those.
Cool. Yeah. Is there any other quick tips or that's pretty much,
if you're not wanting to do it yourself, best word of advice I can give you to keep your car running well is find a shop that does more than just basic oil changes.
Oh, okay.
Look for a shop that will include either paid or for free, some sort of an inspection on the vehicle so that you know what's going on with it.
Yeah. So, checking your belts, checking your other fluids.
Exactly. Checking the stuff that's not so easy for you to check yourself. They'll check your belts, your brakes. They'll measure your tread depth on your tires. Stuff
is it
like
pretty
that.
Rare fluids. To find a shop that's going to do everything like that? Do they usually just crank them in, crank them out?
A lot of shops crank them in, crank them out.
Yeah.
I feel like it's starting to change a little bit.
Yeah.
There are a lot of shops that offer inspections. We offer inspections.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of shops are offering inspections, but not every single shop offers inspections.
Yeah.
Especially your quick lube type places, they're just clearly they're just there to drop your oil, spin on a new filter, and get you out the door.
Call it good. Five
good minutes, time and a place for that. If you're in a hurry, that's perfect service, right. 100% legit. But for the most part, at least once a year, find a shop that does a really good, thorough inspection so you know what's going on with your car.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Let's move on to the next question. Can you share some common signs that indicate a car may be in need of immediate attention or repair other than being on fire?
Yeah, fire is a big one. Mm-hmm. Come closer, folks. Check engine light. Pay attention to it. It doesn't just come on randomly. It doesn't just go away randomly. It's not for nothing. It's there for a reason. It's there because there's an issue with your car. Mm-hmm. Check engine light is the easiest way to tell if something's going on.
You're telling
on.
Me I can't put a piece of electrical tape over that and it just fixes it?
You can, but it doesn't fix it. No.
But if I can't see it, it's not a problem.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah, but check engine light is the easiest thing to look out for. If that pops on, you've got an issue.
Yeah.
It's either on solid or flashing. Mm-hmm. If it's on solid, you probably have a little bit more time. Definitely get it checked out.
Yeah.
But it's telling you, it's there to let you know that your car is not working right. Something is wrong. Sensor's down. It's using pre-programmed conditions and information that it has in the computer so that it can continue to operate, but it's not operating at its peak efficiency. Chances are you're losing fuel economy. You could be fouling spark plugs. You could be causing damage to the engine. If you're causing serious damage to the engine, that check engine light will be flashing. If that check engine light is flashing, pull over.
Yeah, that's when you're bad.
Don't drive far on a flashing check engine light.
Yeah,
that's the escalation.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And then the check engine light, you're just going to plug in your reader and it's going to say why that thing is on.
It gives you the code.
At a shop, you're going to,
Yeah.
So you need to know what the codes are, and that's why you go to a good shop.
Yep.
You don't just get one of those little cell phone apps that tells you something.
Well, those are decent, but a lot of times they – so we can get into this a little bit deeper later as well. I think one of your questions coming up is going to be a good opportunity for me to expand on that. But cool. Yeah, the code readers, your scan tools that you can buy at O'Reilly's or any of the auto stores like that, they will give you the code. They give you an idea of what's going on.
Okay.
You still have to know how to interpret it.
Yes.
It could be multiple different things. Like it'll say, oh, oxygen sensor. Well, yeah, sure, it could be the oxygen sensor. Mm-hmm. It could also be wiring. Mm-hmm. It could be the computer. Could be something tricking the oxygen sensor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's where the shop comes in, is for a more thorough diagnostic.
You can get it figured out. Okay.
Every now and then you read the code, it says oxygen sensor, you go to the auto parts store, you buy an oxygen sensor, pop it in, and you're good to go. But that's luck.
Yeah, totally. Okay, let's move on to another question. For drivers looking to maximize fuel efficiency, what are some tips or adjustments they can make to their vehicles?
Okay, so
Flintstones. Number one.
Yeah, Flintstones.
Two holes in the
bottom. Use your feet.
Yeah. Use your Mitsubishis.
Mitsubishis. Chevrolets. No. Tire pressure, again, is hyper important when it comes to fuel economy. Mm. It's so important that the EPA, actually California Air Resource Board section of the EPA, has dictated that every shop, no matter what, when you get a car in the shop, you're supposed to check and adjust tire pressure. It's that important for fuel economy and emissions. So they want every car that goes into any shop to get its tires checked.
Okay.
Just for fuel economy, basically. Yeah. And there's truth to it. For every 0.3% of fuel economy drop, that's one PSI of tire pressure. So if you drop 2 to 3 PSI of tire pressure, you're losing 1% fuel economy.
Yeah.
So that's a big one. Again, back to our air filters. Your engine's an air pump. If your air filter's clogged, it's not breathing right. It's not going to be as efficient.
Right.
So making sure that you have a clean air filter is absolutely paramount to having a good running car and good fuel
economy. Like playing soccer when you have asthma.
Yeah, exactly. No, 100%. That's exactly it. It constricts those airways. You can't breathe.
Yeah.
Nice clean air filter helps you breathe.
Okay. All right. Cool. Okay. How important is it to follow the manufacturer's recommended service schedule, and what can happen if these intervals are neglected?
Good question. It's literally the best way for you to guarantee longevity and reliability in your car. It's the only thing that you can do is get it regularly serviced and follow their service recommendations. Manufacturers have dumped millions and billions of dollars into research and development in their cars. They know how long the fluids are good for that they recommend. As long as you're using a good fluid, if they say 30,000 miles, go that 30,000 miles, drain it, get it replaced.
Yeah.
It's the best thing that you can do. It's the only thing that you can do. It's sort of like voting. It's your only choice. It's your only power.
Right, right.
Take it in, you know.
Right.
We always recommend every 30,000 miles. That's pretty standard for most every manufacturer out there. Some are a little bit different. Your owner's manual inside your car will give you that information, or even online. Manufacturers have that information on their websites more often than not.
Right.
But normally, all fluids about every 30,000. Minus oil. I still say oils every 3 to 5.
Okay. Some people say you can go way longer on that. It's part of the oil industry conspiracy.
Yeah.
BlackRock.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch.
Yeah.
Again, that's another thing we can totally expand on, and I think there's an opportunity a little bit later on here to expand on that. But absolutely, oil changes. That's the one place I break with the manufacturer recommended. The manufacturers are recommending 10,000 mile oil changes, and I do not believe in that. I've yet to find a tech that actually believes in that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Keep it between 3 and 5 and you're going
to
be
3
safe.
And 5 for your regular engines.
Yeah.
Synthetic does not change that as much as you'd want to.
Okay.
Or want to believe that it does.
Yeah.
Still really good. You can go as far as 5 or 6, but I would not go further than 6. Okay. On a hybrid car where the engine's shutting off part of the time, I set the stickers normally to 5,000 miles and tell people in between 5 and 7 because the engine's not on all the time.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good one. When it comes to DIY car repairs, what are some tasks that can be safely tackled by beginners? Mm-hmm. And which ones should be left to the professionals?
Another good question. Mm-hmm. And we've already sort of covered this, but we can expand a little bit more. So again, air filter, checking your oil, tire pressure, all of these basic things that we've already talked about, wiper blades, a lot of your consumable things that wear out that are sort of
pretty
on the
peripherals. Easy to do.
Yeah.
Although I had some wiper blades the other day that, oh my God, there was like 6 pieces you had to put together to get it to fit in because they're universal for other cars. So it's like if it's a Jeep, then it's this. If it's a Chrysler, well, the same thing. But you know what I mean? Then it's this. If it's a Toyota, it's this. It was like, oh my God. And it was pouring rain because we all wait until it's pouring rain to do it. And then I'm out there going.
Yeah, wipers are not always the easiest thing.
Yeah.
But normally, I categorize them as one of the easier things that almost anybody can do.
Yeah.
Tires, air filters, wiper blades, things, little things like that. You can top off your washer fluid. Mm-hmm. With a simple Google search and some YouTube time, you can probably figure out how to check most of your fluids.
Yeah.
That's becoming harder and harder today. You're not finding like transmission dipsticks are sort of a thing of the past. You actually have to get underneath the car and there's a drain plug that you have to, or a fill plug rather, that you have to undo to check the fluid level. That's becoming more and more common. So it's becoming a little bit harder, but those basic things still almost anybody can do.
Okay.
You can check your belt condition, see if there's cracks. All you need for that is a good flashlight.
Yeah.
Take a look at the belt. And if it's got cracks, you know you need to replace it. If it looks good, you're probably okay to go a little bit longer.
Okay. Is there anything you can do to your belts to help make them last longer, like rub oil on or vegetable oil or something? You know what I mean?
No.
Yeah.
Nope. Just replace them when they start.
Somebody else told me that.
Was it your dad?
Yeah.
Okay. So on the higher level, some people can do brakes. Mm-hmm. Some people have little scan tools. They're fairly electrical savvy, so they can do some basic diagnostics, changing light bulbs. A lot of people can change light bulbs, but again, that's another thing that's becoming a little bit more difficult with HIDs and just the way cars are designed. They're buried a little bit more.
Yeah.
But as far as the professional things, really, honestly, the diagnostics. Cars are becoming so complicated.
Yeah.
You'll have upwards of 20 computers all talking to each other.
Yeah.
You have communications on different priority levels, like ABS is the highest priority level.
Yeah.
So if you have an ABS, anti-lock brake event, that message on the computer network is the highest priority. Yeah. Everything else gets ignored.
Yeah.
So there's a chance that most people will never run into this, but there's a chance that even your horn runs through a computer.
Okay.
So if you're on the brakes and that ABS kicks in, you get that that the ABS does, and you hit your horn,
That
horn message may not go through.
Might not work because
the message is there, but it's deprioritized because ABS is all of a sudden taking full priority over the entire computer network. All other 20 computers are told to shut up.
Oh, cool. Didn't
basically
know that. Okay.
And that ABS module is the one talking and everybody else is listening to it. It's all of a sudden highest priority.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of little things like that become very intricate and difficult for the end user to understand.
Yeah.
And diagnostics are just becoming harder and harder. So really diagnostics, big engine repairs, timing belts. There's a lot of people that do their own work at home, and I'm really impressed with the ability of a lot of people that work on their cars at home. But timing, if you screw up half a tooth off or one tooth off on your timing, almost every engine today is what we call interference fit, and it's going to be catastrophic. You could lose your engine over doing a timing belt or a timing chain job incorrectly on your car. So those are probably better left for the professionals.
Okay, cool. I think we're going to cut to a commercial real quick. But before that, I did want to show an interesting video that Robbie made for TikTok here really quick. It got quite a bit of hits, huh? That's how many hits did you get on that as of last time you checked?
I think about 60,000 views.
Yeah, yeah. So it's been pretty good.
Yeah, it blew up. It's,
yeah, pretty funny little video. I liked it. So we're going to cut to that video.
Get real.